Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is Monday the 16th, and I'm with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace
podcast. Good afternoon, Justin.
Yeah, in the book of John.
Yes,
so we've been in the book of John on Sundays. We just finished week three, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, week three. Mm-hmm. And so I love, Scott, the first chapter, I've loved how you've kind of been phrasing this. You know, we got introduced to the Word, and then the Word is introduced to the world. And then I don't know what the third one was.
Then we get introduced to the followers.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That was this last week. And again, I mean, there's so much we could talk about the sermon on Sunday. I love how you started at the very beginning of your sermon saying, you know, it's kind of like we start out in the heavens.
Yeah, yeah.
And we begin to go, it's like a scene in the movie, right?
Yeah.
And you begin mm-hmm. to go further down, and it gets all the way to Nathaniel, which is very personal.
An individual.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Because
I think we can maybe go on either side of the ditch, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we see him so high and up, and it's like he's not personal. Or we can get so personal, we forget that he's high and exalted.
And yeah, right? Yeah. I love the trajectory is the word. The direction, of John 1.
Yeah,
and just I don't know that I've ever noticed that as much in past reading of John until this time through. That, you know, you go from first verse, in the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
So now you're in the beginning, and obviously it's talking about eternal Word.
Yeah.
So the eternity before time, to this guy who Jesus saw under a fig tree named Nathaniel that God sovereignly opened his eyes, and he becomes a central character in the first chapter of John, and he's an individual who's got to encounter Jesus and decide and follow.
Yeah.
It's the story of our lives, isn't it, when we come to Christ?
Yeah, it is. And so it was great. So if you would, give us a little bit of an overview from Sunday. You kind of had three main points and kind of subpoints under those. Kind of talk a little about that.
So we were in the third and final section of John chapter 1, starting in verse 35. And at this point, people are actually starting to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So he's introduced earlier, but now these men that are named, some of them are named, are starting to follow Jesus. And so basically a couple of them were originally followers of John the Baptist,
mm-hmm.
who was preparing the way for Jesus. So John actually lost disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He starts out the day and ends up with two less mm-hmm. because they saw Jesus and John had testified to Jesus and they say, we're going to follow him. And then they go to follow Jesus. And so Jesus is now, it's the first scene of Jesus starting to build his followers, his disciples, and really the intimate 12 that will become the apostles minus Judas. And then those disciples, we're told, they find the Messiah and they keep announcing that. We found the Christ. We found the one. We found the one who the prophets and Moses talked about. So John loses disciples, followers. Jesus gains them. And then those followers gain a Messiah. So that's kind of the overview. And then I tied it up at the end with just some bullet points, I think 7 or 8 bullet points on just some ideas and thoughts about taking first steps with Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked, you were talking about Nathaniel, and it's always interesting to hear like what could have been going on underneath the fig tree,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you were talking about how Jesus responded to him about the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man and going back to the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. To Genesis,
and saying, well, he could have been meditating on that specific place.
Yeah, that's what a lot of Bible commentators, scholars who have written on John, they certainly say it's a high probability
mm-hmm.
based on the fact that Jesus made that statement, is that Nathaniel had actually been thinking about
mm-hmm.
that story, that Jacob story in Genesis 28, Jacob's ladder, we know it as. Mm-hmm. And probably a bit mystified, pondering it. What does this mean? I mean, can you imagine, like, if you've ever had a passage in the Bible that you were just mystified about?
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, I just don't quite understand this.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Jesus is talking to you, and he's referring to that very passage that you're struggling with. And your eyes are open to the answer to the passage, to the riddle of the passage, is standing right in front of you, talking to you.
Yeah.
That, That's quite amazing.
Yeah, that is. Well, the questions that I want to pull out today, Scott, come from a question that Jesus is asking the two that were following him after mm-hmm. they were with John the Baptist, and then also a statement that he makes to them. Mm-hmm. So the first thing he says to them is, what are you seeking? Mm-hmm. And you kind of talked in your sermon how, guys, this is not just surface level, like, hey, what are you looking at? It's more than that. Yeah. So my question, Scott, is why is that an important question to ask both as a non-Christian and as a Christian?
Yeah. Well, let's set the scene again.
Yeah.
So John the Baptist is standing with his disciples, two of them. Mm-hmm. And John identifies Jesus again. So the second time he does it, behold the Lamb of God. And those two disciples start to follow Jesus mm-hmm. because Jesus is walking by them. And that's when Jesus turns to them and says, what are you seeking? Mm-hmm. Now, that's all it says. Mm-hmm. What are you seeking? And then it says, they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. So you don't get a commentary
right.
on what Jesus means by what are you seeking. Mm-hmm. Often in John, things are said on two levels. Mm-hmm. There's this sort of obvious surface level. What are you seeking? Oh, well, we're seeking the way to, you know, the street or your house.
Yeah.
So on one, but then the question can go another way, which is, what are you seeking?
Yeah.
What are you after? What in terms of goal, in terms of purpose, and in mm-hmm. terms of, you know, salvation, you know, what,
right.
And so we got to take Jesus to mean that.
Yeah.
And so he says, what are you seeking? Why is that an important question? I would say that it's important because we have to be honest about what we're seeking mm-hmm. so that we won't. And then when we find Jesus, and if he doesn't match up to what we were seeking, we got to be careful that we don't impose our expectation, our desire, our want on Jesus, but we take Jesus as he is.
Okay.
So for Jesus to say, what are you seeking? They might say, well, we're seeking somebody to overthrow the Romans.
Right.
To which he would say, well, I'm not your guy.
Yeah.
That's not what I intend to do right now.
Good. So that'd be like imposing what you want onto mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah. We're seeking somebody who will put the religious leaders in their place. Well, I'm going to put them in their place, but they're going to remain. So I'm really not going to, you know, I'm going to go to the cross. They're the ones that are going to participate with the Romans in putting me on the cross. And then they're going to keep causing trouble with the new church after. So really, I'm not even here to do that.
Yeah.
What are you seeking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want somebody in our day. Well, we want somebody that will make our lives work out okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you follow me, the chances are you will have a better life in many, many respects, because you'll mature and you'll know truth and you'll make better decisions. But at the same time, depending on your context, following me might actually get you in trouble.
Yeah.
We prayed Sunday for the persecuted church.
Right.
So you got to be careful. What are you seeking?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so if we say, well, what I'm seeking is, I'm seeking ultimate reality. I'm seeking reconciliation with God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeking eternal life. I'm seeking to live a life for which I was really made by God, to bring glory to God. Then Jesus will say, okay, you found it.
Right, right.
You know. So I think that's why. I think it's the first reason that it's
good.
Important that we understand what we're seeking. I think another reason is, you know, I've been a Christian now for decades. And even for me today, sometimes I have to remember, Scott, what you want was never really promised to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get disappointed with Jesus. He's given you what you ultimately need.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, you do have eternal life. You
right.
are a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
You are living out the purpose for which God made you.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get this, and this. Life's not going to go this way for you. So you can't put that disappointment onto Jesus. He never promised you that.
Yeah.
So even today, I have to go back to that as a Christian for a long time and say, I got to remember, what was it? What am I seeking? I'm seeking Christ.
Yeah.
And so that I have that.
Yeah.
I have him.
You're right. That's good, Scott, because I think, you know, sometimes, and it's not wrong. I mean, maybe good things that you want, maybe for your own life and others in your life, But some of those specific things that you want, I think it's so good to remember that's not necessarily promised.
Yeah.
We got to remember what is promised in the mm-hmm. Bible. Mm-hmm. And that's and what
then,
we have.
Yeah. And then I don't want to say tricking yourself into right. believing that what you have is better, but I am saying cultivate why what we actually have with Christ, who we have with Christ, is actually greater and better than our initial expectations that we wanted to mm-hmm. impose on him.
Yeah.
It's not that we're trying to convince ourselves, but we are trying to cultivate mm-hmm. the reason. So Christians should be saying, okay, what I want is life to go better. I want my kids to turn out better. I want my parents to treat me better. I want more money. I want this and that and that. Okay, well, we're not just trying to trick ourselves to say that following Christ and having the spiritual blessings from the heavenlies that God promises in Christ is greater than that. But we are trying to cultivate an awareness of why that is better.
Right.
You know, these things don't last, these things do. The things right. that last, Christ has given us. What are we seeking? We need to seek the things that are eternal, the things that last.
Yeah.
So for those reasons, I think we need to ask and answer honestly the question, mm-hmm. what are you seeking? And then be honest about it, and then see Jesus as the ultimate of what we're seeking.
Yeah, so as a non-Christian, how do you feel like that plays in? I mean, it sounds like what you're talking about is a lot about from a Christian perspective.
Yeah.
But as a non-Christian, you know, how's that important?
Well, I think if somebody
in some of the same ways, I think
it, very much so. If someone is what we would call a seeker, in other words, they are they've been stirred, mm-hmm. and of course we know from Christian theology that it's God who stirred them.
So yeah.
they're seeking because God has stirred them, but they're seeking nonetheless. They're mm-hmm. they're questioning. They're asking questions. To ask what are you seeking is if you're a non-Christian, it's important to be to think about that. So again. You want to make sure that when you say you believe in Jesus, you're believing mm-hmm. in Jesus as Jesus is, mm-hmm. like the real Jesus yeah. of the Bible, not a Jesus that is made up
That's good.
To make us feel like we can use him to get what we want. That oh. that is not saving faith.
Right.
And so we want Christ mm-hmm. as he is. And John is going to show us, along with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and every other book of the Bible,
yeah.
is going to show us exactly who Jesus is, mm-hmm. so that we're actually believing in the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, mm. the Word made flesh.
Yeah, good. Okay, so now on the other side, the comment when he after, you know, they say I think they say Rabbi, you know, and mm-hmm. they start talking, and then he says what you just read, well, come and see.
Come and see. Yeah.
So why is that also an important mm-hmm. Phrase for us to consider as we are a Christian, non-Christian, mm-hmm. looking at Christ?
Well, what they did, he said, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. So Jesus is inviting people to actually come and see, mm-hmm. be with him. I would say to everybody, but certainly a person who's not yet a believer in Christ, seeker, I'd say, let's get a Bible.
Open it up.
Let's read John together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's no pressure. Nobody's trying to manipulate anybody. Just sit down and read it. Mm-hmm. Ask honest questions. Even begin to ask God to show himself to you. Come and see. Mm-hmm. There's the invitation of Jesus. Yeah. Come and see.
Yeah.
And you know, God will give you time mm-hmm. to ask honest questions right. and to read the Bible and investigate.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, now I've seen. Mm-hmm. You know, they saw, and as soon as they saw, then Andrew, one of those guys that was with Jesus to come and see, says, we have found the Christ. So his eyes were open to it.
Yeah.
So the point I'm making here is that it's important to hear Jesus say, come and see, because he really does want you to think about him and engage yeah. your mind and read and question and study, and then you can your eyes will be open to who he is, and you can make a decision to follow him.
Right. Good. Now, the last thing we got a little bit of time, and I was just thinking about this. Towards the end of your sermon, you were talking about this concept of following Jesus. And you kind of talked at the end of your sermon a little bit about how, you know, some will say, well, is that really, you know, you follow Jesus? You have to believe, and then you follow. And
okay.
you kind of helped us with that. And I thought it was really helpful
yeah.
to think how those kind of go really together.
Yeah. yeah. So what I was going with that is years ago, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago when I first heard about it, there was this conversation going on among Christians, and I don't want to misrepresent it, but right. I'm not sure I'm going to represent it accurately, yeah, yeah. But it was something like this, that we have to be careful that we don't add anything to simple saving faith,
right.
belief, and that if we start talking about things like, you know, using the words "follow me" as the language that's used for someone to become a Christian, then we might somehow be adding to faith.
Yeah.
This idea that no, it's not just faith; it's how much you're going to obey Him and following Him, that kind of stuff. And you know, I certainly appreciate the idea or the concern to not add to faith.
Right.
Because here I'm a purist.
Yeah,
you know, but by grace,
right.
through faith in Christ alone.
Yeah, so definitely right. a good concern.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
but if you read the Bible and you read that, like Hebrews 12, by faith, and then it says every one of those people followed some way that God called them to live. You know, stepped somewhere, did something, went to. So there's a faith is seen. You go to the book of James.
Yeah.
You know, genuine faith, it is following. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jesus, you know, follow me is like saying believe in me. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
To say, follow me does not violate the purity of faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. To follow Jesus is faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And then it's personal to me.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. when I became a Christian, it wasn't through the method of, you know, do you believe this, and this, and then pray to ask Jesus into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But when I became a Christian, I was responding to words like John, mm-hmm. where Jesus, and in other places, you know, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus says the same thing. He says, follow me. But I was responding to the call of Jesus to follow him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never questioned whether that was faith.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was faith.
Yeah.
But there was more of, the call was more than just, do you believe in these points?
Right.
It was, hey, I'm here to take your life.
Yeah, yeah.
And to which I was able to say, well, I see that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Yes, I'll follow you.
Right.
So I just wanted to put that out there because the language of John is going to be later, believe, John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
But the language of the gospel is also follow me. And we shouldn't try to separate those two things as if they're two different things. I don't think. I think they are what it means to have faith.
Yeah. Great. Well, great sermon. I would highly encourage for those that didn't get to listen to all of it to go online and listen to that through our podcast. Very, very helpful. And so next week we'll be in John 2.
John 2, yeah. The what everybody knows as the wedding at Cana.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, we're going to talk about Jesus turning the water into wine.
Great. Well, look forward to it.
All right.
Thanks.